Greetings, and welcome to Flanagan's EcoLogic. I'm your host, Ted Flanagan, and this is EcoNet News, Volume 26, Issue Number 4, April 2024. And we start with a quote of the month. We are the only industrialized country in the world that doesn't have a high-speed rail in America, and 4 years from now, we won't be saying that anymore. Wes Edens, Brightline's founder and chairman, quoted in the Los Angeles Times. Flanagan's net positive, climate and human rights. It's hard not to be struck by the global awareness of the severity of climate change and the acknowledgement by so many countries and government bodies of the imperative at hand. Scientists have consistently warned of the unfolding calamity. Influential leaders, like the unlikely, fiercely determined young lady Greta Thunberg from Sweden, and now a group of senior Swiss women, are making waves, thankfully amplifying the pace of change. The case was brought by the Senior Women for Climate Protection, Klima Seniorinnen, to the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg, France. The heat waves that have swept across Europe the past few years have been alarming, and research shows that older women are particularly susceptible to heat-related illnesses. Klima Seniorinnen successfully claimed that Switzerland had failed to meet its climate protection targets. Switzerland had made a commitment to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions by 20% compared with 1990 levels, but the country has only achieved 11% of that target level. In a landmark ruling, the European Court faulted Switzerland for violating human rights provisions. It's the first time that an international court has determined that governments are legally obligated to meet their climate targets under human rights law. The court affirmed that the climate crisis is a human rights crisis. The Swiss government was ordered to pay $87,000 to the group that brought the case to cover its costs and expenses. The director of the Center for Climate Change Law at Columbia University in New York expects to see a rash of lawsuits from other European countries because most of them have done the same thing. He notes that they too have failed to meet their climate goals and or have failed to set adequate targets. We're entering an age of climate accountability. The Brightline to Vegas. Los Angelinos are excited this week as construction has now officially begun on the Brightline, a high-speed rail line that will run from Los Angeles to Las Vegas. Service is expected to commence in 2028. The rail line will run in the median of Interstate 15, a notoriously congested and dangerous stretch of highway. Las Vegas officials stated in the opening ceremonies that no longer will Vegas visitors be stuck in traffic for hours. The Brightline project was launched on Earth Day. When complete, passengers will enjoy a two-hour ride at an average speed of 186 miles per hour. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg was on hand at the ceremony. He sees this as the beginning of the high-speed rail era in the United States. Let's go build that railroad, he said. At first, the Brightline will not originate at Union Station in downtown Los Angeles. The new rail line will run from Rancho Cucamonga in the greater Los Angeles area, where it will connect with the regional Metrolink, to Las Vegas with stops in Hesperia and the Victor Valley. The Victor Valley station is planned to offer a future connection with the California high-speed rail. Experts have taken notice of the speed of the planning and development of the Brightline, which compares with a California high-speed rail system that has been mired in political disputes, cost overruns, and permitting delays. The $12 billion Brightline project received a $3 billion grant from the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act. Thanks to its public-private partnership, the Brightline project will also be able to borrow $3.5 billion in tax-exempt bonds. The new rail line will span 218 miles, running at speeds of up to 200 miles per hour. When complete, it will include 322 miles of overhead electrical lines to power the trains. No ticket prices have been announced, but Brightline has commented on average high-speed rail costs being in the 50 cents to $1 range per passenger mile. Amtrak service between New York and Washington costs about $1.25 per mile. At those rates, a round-trip ticket could cost around $400. Brightline is a proven business. It's already providing intercity service in Florida, connecting Fort Lauderdale, Miami, and Orlando. The Los Angeles to Las Vegas line will reduce CO2 emissions by 800 million pounds of CO2e equivalent annually. It will provide 35,000 good-paying jobs during construction and many jobs when the line is operational. Brightline's founder and chairman hopes that the new line will leave a positive legacy on the region, much like the Hoover Dam. Greening green ammonia. Ammonia, an inorganic chemical compound, one nitrogen atom bonded to three hydrogen atoms, NH3, may not seem like an ideal fuel. The chemical, commonly used in household cleaners, smells foul and is toxic. It has been used as a refrigerant, R717, and as an antimicrobial agent in food products. But its primary use, by far, is as a fertilizer, some $60 billion worth annually, that provides around 150 million metric tons of ammonia to farms worldwide. More than 50% of the world's production of food relies on ammonia fertilizer. Ammonia as a fertilizer has been and continues to be a powerful force in the green revolution. It is estimated that half of the nitrogen in the human body originated from a synthetic ammonia plant. Now ammonia is poised to become a major ingredient in the clean energy revolution. Ammonia's energy density is twice that of liquid hydrogen by volume, and it is easier to ship and handle. So now a new application: convert renewable energy into an energy-rich gas that can be easily cooled and squeezed into a liquid fuel. One expert noted that it's a means of bottling wind and sunshine. It can be shipped anywhere and later converted back into electricity or hydrogen gas to power fuel cell vehicles. With renewable energy, it's an interesting piece of the carbon-free pathway. Ammonia can be used as a fuel for combustion, with or without additives, and directly in some fuel cells to generate electricity. Ammonia can be used directly in solid oxide fuel cells and direct ammonia fuel cells. Polymer electrolyte membrane fuel cells need reforming of the gas into nitrogen and hydrogen before hydrogen can be fed into the fuel chamber. Green ammonia holds promise as part of the climate solution. It could help to power the world without carbon. But right now, ammonia production has a bad name in the climate world. Its production consumes about 1% of the world's energy and is responsible for 2% of greenhouse gases globally. Most ammonia is synthesized using the Haber-Bosch method, a century-old process that is fast, energy-intensive, and that emits vast amounts of carbon dioxide. In 1909, Fritz Haber found a means of splitting nitrogen into nitrogen atoms and then stripping hydrogen from fossil fuels, together bonding to form ammonia. It was commercialized by Carl Bosch. On the hydrogen side of the equation, Haber-Bosch involves a process in which steam reformation strips hydrogen from natural gas or coal. This is done using superheated steam, 500 degrees C, and the CO2 is left behind. The second feedstock, nitrogen, is easily separated from the air, which is 78% nitrogen. But melding the two gases using the Haber process takes brute force and requires up to 250 atmospheres of pressure. It was first used on an industrial scale in Germany during World War I, following a blockade of nitrates from Chile. The ammonia was used to produce explosives to sustain war efforts. Green ammonia can be made in a traditional, albeit inefficient, method, using electrolysis to split water to create hydrogen and then running it through a Haber-Bosch high-pressure process to blend hydrogen and nitrogen to make ammonia. There is a promising new way of making ammonia called a reverse fuel cell process. While a fuel cell takes in natural gas, reforms its hydrogen, and generates electricity and water, the reverse fuel cell uses nitrogen gas and water zapped by electricity to create ammonia. At present, this process's yields are modest. Imagine feeding nitrogen gas and water into a chamber. A power cord supplies electricity, splits the water molecule, and brings nitrogen and hydrogen together to form ammonia. The device exhales ammonia with no heat or pressure or carbon emissions. Breathing nitrogen in and breathing out ammonia. Pretty idyllic and in a prototype phase only. Researchers are using different materials for electrolytes to try to speed and scale the promise. One expert cautions the age-old habits related to ammonia. First, however, the evangelist for renewable ammonia will have to displace one of the modern world's biggest, dirtiest, and most time-honored industrial processes, something called Haber-Bosch. 31 countries pass the EV tipping point. Bloomberg NEF analysis shows that by the end of last year, 32 countries had reached and crossed the EV tipping point. It's considered a pivotal level when 5% of new sales are electric. The threshold signals the start of mass adoption. In 2022, only 19 countries had reached that level. Now, some of the fastest growing markets for EVs are in Eastern Europe and Southeast Asia. In the fourth quarter of last year, EVs accounted for 12% of global sales. More data. The 32 countries that have crossed the tipping point represents two-thirds of auto sales. There are 8 countries with EV market share above 25%, 3 countries above 40%, Norway at 79.6%, Iceland 58.4%, Denmark 44.9%. There appears to be a normal pattern of EV adoption after the tipping point is reached. Typically, a country experiences market acceleration after hitting the tipping point and engaging in a virtuous cycle of more automakers, more choices, better and better charging capabilities, which all beget increased sales. Analysis shows that EVs can surge from 5% to 20% in under 4 years. Researchers note that this surge has not happened in the United States or South Korea for a variety of reasons, mostly due to range anxiety. The U.S. adoption rate is listed at 8.1% in the survey. Thailand hit 5% early in the year, and by year-end, EV sales were 13% of the market. This rise coincided with the opening of Thailand's first EV manufacturing plant, owned by China's Great Wall Motor Company. In Turkey, Turkish automaker TOG introduced its battery-powered SUV, all-electric, that competes squarely with a Tesla Model Y. Turkey came over the tipping point and is now Europe's fourth largest EV market. GETS, Grid Enhancing Technologies. One of the great challenges in ushering in widespread use of renewables is transmission capacity. We've got to get the wind and solar to the population centers. In many cases, this requires more transmission lines, or more accurately, more transmission capacity. A New York Times article introduced many of us to GETS, Grid Enhancing Technologies. One of the most basic forms of GETS is upgrading transmission lines. In some cases, it's possible to upgrade aging power lines. Replacing old cables with cables made of state-of-the-art materials can reportedly roughly double the capacity on the grid in many parts of the country. That means more transmission capacity for wind and solar. Advanced reconductoring is widely used in other countries like Belgium and the Netherlands to bring more renewables to the grid, and less so in the United States. This is largely due to regulatory and bureaucratic hurdles, according to researchers at the University of California at Berkeley, working with consulting firm GridLab. Most lines today consist of steel cores surrounded by strands of aluminum, a design that's been around for a century. In the early 2000s, companies developed cables using smaller, lighter cores, such as carbon fiber, that could hold more aluminum and that can carry up to twice as much current as older models. Reconductoring, where it makes sense, can be done quickly. In 2011, American Electric Power in Texas urgently needed more power. The utility replaced 240 miles of wires on an existing line with advanced conductors and increased the carrying capacity by 40%. The project took 3 years, far less than buying land and getting permits for a new transmission line. Building new lines has been called a brutal slog of permissions through a patchwork of different jurisdictions. There's a co-benefit, too. In Montana, the advanced conductors have been installed for wildfire mitigation. The new lines sag less in heat, making them less likely to contact trees. Both Montana and Virginia have legislation to support utilities investments in advanced conductors for safety. Most appealing about reconductoring and other forms of GETs is that expanded capacity can open up new channels for renewables to get to market, many of which have been stymied by local grid conditions, too clogged to accommodate the capacity. A U.S. Department of Energy study found that the nation's transmission network lines may have to expand by two-thirds or more by 2035 to meet the nation's renewable energy goals. The Princeton University REPEAT project makes clear the need for getting renewables to market. Without sufficient transmission capacity, half of the emissions reduction expected from the Inflation Reduction Act may not materialize. Grid-enhancing technologies is a term that was coined some years ago by staff at the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Currently, our grids are wasting wind and solar due to transmission shortfalls. Advanced power control technologies can reroute electricity in milliseconds to bypass congested circuits. GETs also make it possible to jam more power through an existing circuit. One GET involves sensors coupled with advanced controls that allow utilities to send more power without overloading lines. A system of dynamic line rating. Devices monitor transmission lines to figure out what the lines can handle or when the lines can handle more current. One company representative noted that today's transmission lines are woefully underutilized. Norway way out in front with EVs. The latest monthly data shows that 90% of all new car sales in Norway are fully electric vehicles. At this pace, battery electric vehicles will soon surpass petroleum-powered cars there. Norway currently has 2.9 million registered vehicles. There are approximately 10,000 new vehicles sold in the country each month, of which battery electric EVs hold an 89.3% market share. If the sales trend continue, there will be more battery electric vehicles than petrol vehicles on the road by early 2025. The sale of pure petrol cars is now negligible. While Norway is getting lots of press for its rate of EV adoption, to be fair, the car fleet there is still dominated by diesel cars, with 1,068,929 units. Diesel is followed by petroleum with 776,003 units, electric with 700,358 units, and hybrid 339,724, the later being plug-ins with petrol engines. The upside is that the climate protection of EVs is clear. The huge political support for electric vehicles in Norway has resulted in average new vehicle emissions of 15 grams per kilometer. That compares to the average emissions of a new vehicle in Australia of 164 grams per kilometer, 11 times higher. Instant EV rebates. The United States Treasury has already disbursed nearly $500 million in tax credits for EVs through the new Instant Rebate Program, which offers eligible customers up to $7,500 per clean energy vehicle. Most Americans qualified to buy an electric car can now claim their credit at the time of sale, straight from auto dealers. This upfront credit option is provided by the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 and went into effect in 2024. The buyer gets the credit instantly. The IRS then pays the dealer back. The U.S. Treasury reports that since January, the Internal Revenue Service has processed almost 100,000 time-of-sale electric vehicle credit reports and has repaid dealers over $580 million in reimbursements. There are now 13,000 dealers which have registered on the IRS Energy Credits online platform to enable these cash transactions. Rather than having to wait to get a tax credit, now EV buyers can deduct and instantly receive the credit amount at the dealership. Thus, EV buyers pay a lower driveway cost. In turn, the significantly reduced price of EVs is anticipated to further accelerate EV adoption. The flip side of the tax credit equation is that the IRA tightened up on its eligibility requirements. There are now income caps of $150,000 and $300,000 for single taxpayers and those filing jointly. To receive a tax credit, the EV needs to be constructed in America, wiping out 70% of models that had previously been eligible, but strategically applying tax dollars domestically and realizing the economic multipliers of doing so. Finland's massive thermal energy storage. With 5.5 million people, Finland is the most northern and geographically remote European country. It is also the most densely forested country in Europe and tops the list of the world's happiest countries. Given its cold winters, Finland's heat consumption in summer is only one-tenth that in the winter. Thus, the country has been a pioneer in seasonal energy storage, tapping waste and inexpensive energy from data centers, excess renewables, waste to energy, etc., and storing it for winter use. Per capita, the Republic of Finland is the largest producer of district heating in the Nordic countries. In 2023, 37.3 terawatt hours of district heat was produced in the country. Of this, 53% was from renewable heat sources and 14% from waste, the remainder from conventional fuels. A couple of years ago, Econet reported on a Finnish thermal energy storage system based on sand. Considered the world's first sand-based system, Polar Night Energy's system works by blowing at up to 1,100 degrees Fahrenheit hot air through pipes that heat sand in a massive steel container. The system is on-site at a power plant near Kankanpa. The sand battery also takes advantage of the lowest cost power from the adjacent power plant, traps the heat for later release. It also boosts the temperature of heat recovered from high-performance data servers. The sand battery has a capacity of 100 kW of heating power and 8 megawatt hours. Now another innovative Finnish seasonal storage project in Vantaa. Adjacent to Helsinki, Vantaa is Finland's fourth largest city. Over 90% of its homes are connected and drawing heat from the central heating loop. Vantaa has more than 373 miles of underground district heating network. Vantaa Energy is jointly owned by the cities of Vantaa and Helsinki. Vantaa Energy now plans to build a massive 90 gigawatt hour thermal energy storage facility called the Varanto Project, which means vault or reserve in English. Its underground caverns will be the volume of 2 Madison Square Gardens. Planned to be completed in 2028, it will be the world's largest seasonal energy storage system. Heat will be stored in 3 underground caverns, almost 1,000 feet long and 65 feet wide and by 132 feet high. The caverns will hold a volume of 290 million gallons of water. The water will be pressurized to prevent boiling and evaporation at temperatures up to 280 degrees Fahrenheit. 2 60 megawatt electric boilers will produce the heat with excess renewable energy at times when it is abundant and cheap. Heat will be stored and injected into the district heating system when needed. With all permits in place, Varanto is set to break ground this summer. Its cost will be around $217 million. That's it. Thanks for listening to Flanagan's Ecologic. We'll see you next time.